greet you this evening in Jesus' name. For a preacher to prepare another message on communion, we can cheat and we can go back to one of our notes we had from a previous message and make it easy. Or we can ask God, what would you want me to share this evening? Maybe He'll take you back to that same message. Maybe He'll take you somewhere totally different. Today, as I was seeking the face of God, I spent pretty well all day at my reading and just studying and worshiping and crying my heart out. There's something about communion that is special in our hearts. And it seems the oftener that we get together for communion, there's something that keeps coming, becoming more special. Is it because our relationship is changing with God? I'm not sure. Maybe it's our understanding. But as I was watching you here this evening, as we were singing, I was seeing faces out there that were smiling. I saw some faces that were a little bit blank. I saw some faces that were in worship. See, we all come to God in a different way. We're not all the same here this evening. So as we come to God this evening, as we ask Him to minister to us through communion, we're going to find something different sometimes. And we don't look at the next person beside us, and you're not like me. I really got it tonight. We all have that opportunity this evening to receive from God and to give back. Tonight, my message, I just want to take us down a little journey of the life of Jesus. I'm going to just share a little bit just from my heart what I received today, and then we're going to go to a scripture here after a bit. But just allow your mind to not go empty. Let's not go there. But let's just allow your mind this evening to think with me as I share. I want to begin with going back to Moses. When he received from God, God told him, I want you to go talk to the children of Israel. And they came to the place where they had the plagues. They had 9 plagues, and then the 10th plague was coming, the death of the firstborn. And God told Moses to go and explain to them how they are to slay a sheep. They're to pick a sheep. We talked about that the other night or the other morning. How they are to slay a sheep. You take the blood, you put it in a basin. Then you take the meat and you roast it. Have your shoes on, be ready, because there's going to be a Passover tonight. The death angel's coming out. And unless you've taken that blood and you put it on the side post and on the top, the death angel's going to stop in. And I had to think about us here today. What if God came and spoke to us and said, there's a death angel coming through tonight. Put the blood on the doorposts. Can I tell you that's what He's telling us? There's a death angel coming through. The blood that is on those doorposts, today, we take the blood of Jesus and it needs to be on the doorposts of our heart. Maybe I can say it that way. There has to be a circumcision of the heart, a new birth. Let's continue. Children of Israel found deliverance because they were obedient. At midnight, that death angel came through and there was a crying, a wailing that was taking place in Egypt. Because there was death. The firstborn died in the houses where the blood was not applied. Let's fast forward many, many years to a time where there was a birth in a tiny town, Bethlehem. There was a baby born in this town. Luke 2:10 says, fear not, he was talking to the shepherds, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. which shall be to all people, the beginning of Jesus' life here on earth. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Isaiah had prophesied 700 years before this. He said, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. So we watch Jesus as he grows up. We don't have a whole lot of his younger life. We have a little bit at 12 years old. But we don't see a whole lot of him in his younger life. But as he grows, as he begins to minister, there's things that we see happening in the life of Jesus. Imagine with me for a minute the Samaritan woman at the well. And Jesus comes out there, and we have this woman sitting at the well. Coming to the well, Jesus was sitting on the well. The woman comes to the well, and Jesus begins conversing with her. And they talk about her husbands. And it comes to the place where Jesus told her, you know, if you had the living water I have for you. And she wanted the living water. Let's go a little further. We have another woman. This woman had an issue of blood. Who knows how many years? 12 years. I put myself in that place where I have an infirmity for 12 years and I've sought God. I've spent everything I have, which she did, with no cure. And then one day she encounters Jesus. She didn't go up and beg him, can you heal me? She made her way behind him and touched the hem of his garment. Jesus turned around. What happened? Something left me. There was some virtue that left me. Until she admitted that, and he said, your faith has made you whole. Another beautiful picture that we see of Jesus. Then we see Jesus coming to the tombs where there was a man living that was filled with demons, or had a demon, I should say. A horrible life. Spending his time naked, cutting himself. And when it was all done, after Jesus healed him, he was in his right mind, sitting there listening. That's my Jesus. Is he yours? We go a little further. And we see a young boy that has a few fish and some bread. Jesus takes those, and he makes many, many fish and many loaves of bread, and he feeds lots and lots of people. Again, that's my Jesus. Not everybody that met him loved him. There were those that didn't. Today there's those that don't love him. Let's move a little further. We go to the upper room, where Jesus gathered with his disciples. They were sharing together in a supper. I tried to put myself in that place tonight or this afternoon. What if I was sitting there around that table? They were sharing in supper, and Jesus said, there's one here that's going to betray me. But they continued. Then Jesus goes over and he gets a basin and he gets a towel like we have up front here. He gets down on his knees and he washes their feet. What about the one that betrayed him? Did he also give him something to eat? Did he also get on his knees and wash his feet? So I was pondering that this week. I read something that really struck me. This writer was saying, how in the world? And Danny, am I not coming through back there? Okay. This writer was saying, how in the world could Jesus do that to a man like that. Until he finally realized, I'm Judas. No, we would not say today that we're Judas. We would not say that we're that kind of a person. But how many times do I, maybe we'll call it betray Jesus, when I have opportunity to share His love with somebody and I turn my back and walk away? That just really struck me. Because the fact of the matter is, would I have been there, would you have been there, He'd have washed our feet too. Then I have to think of Peter. Peter is there and Jesus comes up and He gets down to wash His feet. And Peter pulls his feet back. I'm just kind of thinking this through. Pulls his feet back and says, no way, not me. My Master's not washing my feet. Then Jesus says, Peter, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. And all of a sudden, Peter's all in. Wash my hands and my head too. Let's go all the way. I love that. I love Peter's attitude. I want to be part of that too. Peter wanted in all the way. Let's go a little further. We go to the garden, where Jesus is on His knees and He's praying. And He's talking to His Father. There's something huge ahead of Him. And He's asking His Father, can You please take this away from me? But finally He says, you know, it's not my will, but God, I want Your will. Let's move outside of where Jesus was being questioned. Peter and the rest of the disciples had said, you know, we're not going to leave you. Jesus said, you're all going to leave me. He said, no, I'm not going to leave you. And it says the rest of them all said the same thing. We will not betray you. We will not abandon you. Peter was close by. He was watching from a distance. And as the soldiers mocked Jesus, and as they spit on Him, they beat Him. And if we look a little bit at history, I believe they beat Him to a place where He was almost unrecognizable. Then they placed that beam, that cross beam on His shoulders, on top of all the bruising, the cuts. And they asked Him to carry His cross to Golgotha. There was a woman called Mary Magdalene. We don't have much more than about 3 verses about her. But Mary Magdalene had a love for her Savior. If we start looking a little bit, she everywhere in all 4 of the Gospels, she's mentioned. She was at the cross. She was the first one to see the resurrected Christ. Why? I'm not sure. Other than the fact that she had 7 demons cast out of her. Somewhere along the line, we have made a picture of Mary Magdalene as a prostitute. I researched that. I can't find it. I would have said you're wrong. But I went back and I researched it and I looked for it. If you find it, please let me know. But I can't find anywhere that it says that she was a prostitute, but she had 7 demons. So as I began to think about that, I thought, what made her love so strong? And there's a scripture that talks about that. Again, about a woman in another city who was a sinner in Luke. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, stood at His feet behind Him, weeping, and began to wash His feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed His feet and anointed them with the ointment. We know that the Pharisees were watching this and they were like, what a waste. And finally, Jesus shared a story with them, with Simon. It was at his house. He said, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. He said, yeah, you're right. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered in thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Then he told her, says, your sins are forgiven. Beautiful. I had to think about Mary Magdalene. Did she love much because there was much forgiven? What about me? There's none of us here this evening that could say we didn't have much forgiven. And it's a continual process. Do I love little? Do I love much? Now let's go back again to Exodus, where they did their yearly sacrifice. We think of the temple, we think of the outside court, we think of the inner court. The inner court is where the Holy of Holies was. Once a year, the high priest would go in and he would offer a sacrifice for the people. And I want us to think back to the sacrifices that they offered. They offered so many sacrifices every day. But once a year he went in to do this sacrifice for the people. But not one of those sacrifices lasted. They were all temporary. They had to continue to offer sacrifices because they always remembered. It covered, but it did not remove. It was only temporary. If you would like to turn to Hebrews 9, you're welcome to. I'm going to skip through a couple of verses in Hebrews 9 and 10. The first part of Hebrews 9, he talks a little about the tabernacle here. And he mentions the veil. He mentions the veil that was between the Holy of Holies and the outer court. Remember that. So here we have in verse 7, he talks here about the high priest, but into the second room, went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. So the first tabernacle is still here, so we don't have the holiest of holy, we'll say. But we have the Holy of Holies in here. So there was not yet a way for them, for us, to go in. Let's go on over to verse 12, same chapter. Actually, let's just go to verse 11 and start there. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Did you understand that? By his own blood, he entered in once. He went one time and shed his blood because he was perfect. There's nobody else that could have done this. There is nobody that was pure and holy as him to go in and to offer himself for you and I. The blood of bulls and goats was so temporary, but his was perfect. It was eternal. Above that verse, I wrote down redeemed. You and I have been redeemed. How many of you read the story about the donuts on Facebook? One person back here, over here, there's a few different ones. I wasn't going to share this. Who can not share something when they think about donuts? I shouldn't even have started this. But was it a coach? A professor. He was a professor. He had a box of donuts and he had a guy that could do a whole lot of push-ups. And so he took this guy in and he had all his students sitting there. And I may not say this correctly, but I think you'll get the picture. He had this big box of donuts and his students sitting there. And he asked the guy, can you do 300 push-ups? So he went in and he asked the first person, he said, would you like a donut? Well, yes. So he asked the guy that was with him, we'll call him Steve. Steve, can you do 300 push-ups? Okay, let's say he can. So he asked Steve, do 10 push-ups so this guy can have his donut. So Steve gets down and does 10 push-ups. He goes to the next one. Do you want a donut? Yes. Steve, can you do 10 push-ups? He gets down, he does 10 push-ups. And all of a sudden, after a while, the people are seeing Steve is wearing out. So he asks the next person, do you want a donut? No. Because they see what's happening. Steve, 10 push-ups. I ask the next one, do you want a donut? No. Steve, 10 push-ups. So here's the story. Here's the picture. I'm not going to go to the end of the story, but here's the picture that we're getting. See, Jesus paid everything. He came in and He gave. He paid whatever it took for you and I to have a donut. Many of us today are not willing to take the donut, even though it's paid for us. Are you following what I'm saying? Does it make sense? I look back at my life and I weep when I think about the wasted years of Jesus having given His life so I can be free. And I had the idea that freedom's going to tie me down. And didn't realize that real freedom came when I took the donut. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? This word purge has the idea of cleansing. We think of the leper that came and he was just covered with leprosy. His skin was white. And all Jesus had to do was touch or say a word, and He was made whole. Today we celebrate it, we call it Good Friday. Jesus going to the cross, giving His life for us. And what we have to do is accept it and be made clean and whole. The pain He suffered, what He went through for us, for me. Let's go over to verse 5 in chapter 10. Wherefore, when He cometh into the world, He saith, a sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. This verse jumped out at me today. I don't know if I ever saw it before. I've read it, but I don't know if I ever caught it. Wherefore, when He cometh into the world, He saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast thou prepared for me. This is what I get out of that verse. Jesus said, I'm coming to do the Father's will. We see that just a bit later here. I'm coming to do the Father's will. I know it's going to be painful, but there is an end game to this. I'm doing it for the sake of us, so we can spend our eternity with Him. I'm doing it because my Father asked me to, and I'm going to operate out of obedience. But He says there in the last phrase, He says, but a body hast thou prepared for me. He gave Him an earthly body with earthly blood, but He never sinned. So he could go to the cross with his earthly body and give us spiritual life. Verse 7, lo, I come to do thy will, O God, obedience. Again in verse 9, he says, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And I had not given you a title to my message, but I had titled this message, no, I can't find it. Remembering, for the very fact that Jesus said in 1 Corinthians, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. We show, we remember. That's why we're here this evening, to remember, to commemorate. And there's a sadness that goes with that. Because he was willing to go to the cross. They took those three nails and they beat him into his hands, into his feet. Yesterday somebody called me, texted me, and said, could I put a cross out on the corner by your place? And I said, yes, you can do that. Today I walked out and here's this cross close to this size. And from my window looking out, I can see the back of it. Just some old slabs of wood. But as I walked around the front, I look and up here and here, there's a red splotch. Here there's another red splotch with drippings going down. And as I walked past that, I had to think, yes, Jesus, that blood was shed for me. That blood was shed for you. That's what he went through for us. He gave his blood. Verse 12, chapter 10 there. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. It is finished. Think about the fact when he said, it is finished. The veil was torn from the top to the bottom. He died. His job was done. It is finished. Once and for all. For me, for you, it is finished. Let's go over to verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Let me back up a little bit. He died. The veil was rent from the top to the bottom. What did that do? I see nodding going on. It opened up. Now you and I can boldly go in and we can talk to Him. And we can commune with Him. Yes, He went to the cross and He died. But now it's open. We now have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. By a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let's catch this next verse. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promise, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What I've picked out of this is let us draw near. It's an invitation. He says, I've come in and I've made the way for you. I've split the veil. I've made it so clear for you to come in and receive what I have for you. Draw near. Come on. Come close. Then if we look at verse 24 and 25, I see that as the body of Christ. Let's consider one another. To provoke one another. That's not to irritate. But that's to stir us up. How many of you were here for Todd's message the other night? Good. If you weren't, I think you should listen to it. Giving us some updates about what's happening about prophecy. Whether we agree or disagree, there's one thing that came through very strong for me. Our time is short. Whether he's coming back to take all of us home, or whether it's personally, we don't know. 80, 90 years isn't long, is it, Mary? It's not a long time. He's coming back for us. Can we stir each other up to live holy lives? It's okay if I get a text from you through the week asking me, how are you doing? Are you walking today with Christ? And he says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, but exhort one another. Then he gives us encouragement, so much the more as you see the day approaching. So I want us to think about this. We've talked about Jesus and the suffering. We remembered. And as we came to Hebrews, we see again what he's done for us. And I guess this afternoon as I read this, there's something that just began to happen. And that was worship. How can I help but worship when I see his great love for me? And giving his life. If that doesn't stir something within you, I hope eventually it will. Because as we ponder him on the cross, as we ponder the pain, and one of the things that he said on the cross that I thought about for a while this afternoon was, why have you abandoned me, Father? Not exactly in those words, but that meaning. Why have you abandoned me? He had feelings too. So I want to bring this to a close, I guess, just reminding us. Yes, he went to the cross for us. That's why we're here this evening, to think about that. It's not the end. You've all heard probably the saying, it's Friday. What's next? Sunday's coming. God bless you this evening. I hope as we partake of communion this evening that, again, he will minister into our hearts. And whether we're changed here this evening or whatever happens, may it be an evening that we draw close. Come near. Sense his love. Sense his arms around you. It's the purpose. I've asked Aaron to come lead us in number 23 in the Songs of Faith and Praise. And after that, I'll turn the time back over to Dana. Would you stand?